Tonight was the final Monday Night Raw before Night of Champion. I wish it was the final Monday Night Raw, period. But it was the final Monday Night Raw before Night of Champions, which they are now billing as having a triple main event. We know the Undisputed Tag Team titles are on the line. Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn defending against Roman Reigns and Solo Sikoa. That's one of the main events coming up on Saturday. The other one, number two, is a fight between Cody Rhodes and Brock Lesnar. And number three is the finals of the World Heavyweight Championship Tournament with Seth Rollins going one-on-one with AJ Styles to crown a brand new World Heavyweight Champion. Tonight, one of the things that they did that I thought was effective was the video packages. The sit-down interview for Seth Rollins, the video package they aired for AJ Styles, neither of whom were on the show. But they did have various segments building up that match, trying to do their very best to make it as special as possible. And look, you take Seth Rollins and AJ Styles and put them in the ring together, it's going to be pretty special. But Cody Rhodes and Brock Lesnar in a fight is the other match. And that really was the story of the show tonight. From the opening moments of tonight's show with Brock Lesnar jumping Cody in the back, injuring him, trying to maim this man. Would Cody be able to be medically cleared? Is his arm broken? Will they let him wrestle? Right down to the final closing segment of the show where Triple H sat down with Cody in his locker room and he tried to talk him into getting medical attention, and Cody said, no, no, I don't need medical attention. Just like you would have finished the match, I have to finish this. I have to go to Night of Champions. I have to fight Brock Lesnar, even if I have one arm. So the two of them were going to have a fight on Saturday, and it seems to me like what they've done here is they have given Cody a built-in reason for losing to Brock Lesnar. Cody Rhodes went into Hell in a Cell last year, almost a year ago, and he beat Seth Rollins with a torn pec. They want you to think that he's going into Saudi Arabia. This time he might have a broken arm and he'll do the impossible. History will repeat itself. Only this time I don't think it will. They've also officially added a SmackDown Women's Championship match with Rhea Ripley defending against Natalya, which seemed pretty obvious based on the television over the past few weeks, but it is now official. I gotta be honest with you. I don't know how I managed to stay awake. I really don't. I don't quite know how I made it through this show without dozing off. I really don't. This was a largely boring, lifeless episode of Monday Night Raw. Let's get into this. This is your Monday Night Raw review for May 22nd, 2023. Hey, you know, they are starting Money in the Bank qualifying matches next Monday, which is a good thing. Money in the Bank is coming up on July 1st. There is no pay-per-view next month. But that should give us a few qualifiers per show over the next few weeks. So at least there'll be something tangible at stake during these matches. There'll be something that feels like it's at stake with various spots open in the men's and women's Money in the Bank matches, so that's a good thing. We got a cold open to tonight's show with moments ago footage of Cody Rhodes walking into the building. Cody was all smiles when he was jumped by Brock Lesnar. He was jumped by a wild beast who beat the living shit out of him, threw him into a garage door, threw him into just a pile of giant metal kegs. Brock then grabbed one of those kegs and he slammed it against Cody's left arm. Cody cried out in agony. He was writhing around on the ground in pain. So this was a nice chaotic way to open the show. Nice to have a cold open every now and then and have something going on elsewhere in the building. So that's how they opened the show. When we came back live in the arena, Paul Heyman was already standing in the middle of the ring. No visitors pass necessary this week, I guess. He just decided to show up, and now they're just putting him on the show. So there was Paul Heyman, who assured us that he had nothing to do with what we just saw in the back with Brock Lesnar and Cody Rhodes. He said his special appearance tonight, or rather his special appearance last week, was so well received that he was extended the invitation back this week. He said Night of Champions has three main events coming up on Saturday. He said it would be capped off by Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn losing the Undisputed Tag Team titles to Roman Reigns and Solo Sikoa. And he also had a line in here where he mentioned that the Usos would be watching at home on television. And I certainly hope that's not the case, because if the Usos are not there, if Jimmy and Jey Uso, and I have every reason to believe that they will be, but if Jimmy and Jey are not flying over to Saudi Arabia this weekend, then I think they're very well going to give us Roman four belts, because the only way I think that match goes is the Usos getting involved. They can get involved. They can try to help the Bloodline win. It backfires. It costs Roman and Solo the match. But if the Usos aren't there, they can't do that finish. So there is absolutely a chance that Roman Reigns can walk into Saudi Arabia with two titles and he can walk out with four belts. I'm guessing the Usos will be there on Saturday, despite what Paul Heyman said here in this segment. So KO and Sami Zayn made their way to the ring. By the time they got to the ring, Heyman was gone. He had vanished, never to be seen again for the rest of the night. Sami said that he and Owens were feeling pretty good heading into the biggest title defense that we could possibly have against Roman Reigns and Solo Sikoa. He said this one really is personal for him. He has nothing left to say, because he was already able to say it to Roman's face on SmackDown last Friday. Kevin Owens remembered Roman dedicating the Night of Champions match to Afa and Sika, which is exactly what Roman did. He did dedicate the match on Saturday to the Wild Samoans. And so Owens said that he was going to dedicate their win on Saturday to a great tag team. He was going to dedicate their win to Jimmy and Jey Uso. All three members of Imperium interrupted. They climbed up on the ring apron. They had Owens and Zayn surrounded. When all of a sudden, Matt Riddle sprinted to the ring with no music to join the champions and even the numbers. Imperium got down off the apron. They went to go head for the back. Then they had a change of heart. They turned around. They charged to the ring. Riddle blasted Gunther with a knee to the face. Owens and Zayn clotheslined him out over the top rope. So they went the predictable route tonight. They went with the safe choice for the mystery partner in the main event with Matt Riddle, which at least made sense, because if you remember the Battle Royal last week to crown a number one contender for Gunther's title, Matt Riddle was eliminated by Imperium. Gunther did not appreciate Matt Riddle kicking his flip-flops off in his face when he came out for the Battle Royal, and so they ended up eliminating Riddle. It made sense that Riddle would be upset about that and would want some measure of revenge, plus, you know, he and Owens and Zayn, they just teamed up at Backlash, right? They've been tag team partners in the last few weeks. So he was the predictable choice to go with here. But I'm not sure exactly what they were trying to do here, because all week long, they promoted that Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn were going to have a mystery partner in their match against Imperium, right up until late this afternoon. And then I would say it was about 15 or 20 minutes before the show tonight, on their social media, they just went and announced that Matt Riddle was going to be the tag team partner. This was not the first reveal. First reveal came before they even went on the air tonight. They just threw it out there. Matt Riddle is going to be the partner. So, again, why bother promoting the whole mystery partner angle all week if you were just going to go ahead and spoil it online 20 minutes before the show? But seeing them go with Riddle, I'm not sure why they bothered to go with the mystery partner angle to begin with. If they were going to go the obvious route, which is fine, but pretty much everybody should have expected it was going to be either Riddle or Ali, because Ali is the one who's wrestling Gunther on Saturday. They had no interaction at all tonight. You would never even know that there was an Intercontinental Championship match scheduled between these two. There was no encounter, promo, physical altercation, nothing. But most people should have assumed that it was going to be Matt Riddle. I don't know why they didn't just bother announcing that last week. Adam Pearce told Byron Saxton that he did not have an update on Cody Rhodes. And Byron asked about a rumor that Cody had suffered a broken arm. And again, Adam Pearce would not comment. We had Ricochet one-on-one with Bronson Reed. This stemmed from the Battle Royal I just mentioned last week, where Ali eliminated Ricochet and Reed to win the match. And Reed blamed Ricochet for costing him a shot at the Intercontinental Championship, hence the match that we had between these two tonight. I thought this was actually a very enjoyable clash of styles between these two. Reed downed him on the floor with a running shoulder tackle off the apron that was heading into the commercial break. Ricochet tried to make a comeback. Finally, he took Reed off his feet, hit a running shooting star press, only got a one count out of it. He knocked Ricochet out of the ring and tried for another running shoulder tackle from the apron, but this time, when Reed came off, Ricochet caught him with a knee strike on the way down. Back inside, Reed squashed him in the corner, hit a ripcord snap power slam, and then went up top for the Tsunami Splash, and that was all she wrote. They'll be scraping him off the mat after that. Bronson Reed picks up the win. Good stuff from these two. Ricochet was bumping around like a madman for him. We had Apollo Crews. He was interviewed in the back by Kathy Kelly. He was quickly interrupted by Rhea Ripley and Dominic Mysterio, who is now Dom Dom. They were really getting that Dom Dom name over tonight. Dominic acted like he didn't know who Crews was. He claimed it was Rhea's interview time. This all led to a challenge being made in a match later on between Apollo Crews and Dominic Mysterio. Now, last week, we had Corey Graves, and he was conducting a sit-down interview with Seth Rollins. Seth Rollins was not at the show last week, nor was he at the show tonight. But we were promised that there would be a part two. And in part two, oh, it's going to get some people talking, because he's got something to say about the champion on the other show. He's got something to say about Roman Reigns, right? So that was really how they were hyping this thing up. So Corey Graves went right to Final Jeopardy, and he asked Rollins about Roman Reigns and his undisputed title run. And Rollins got very serious, and he took off his shades. And again, they were kind of teasing that he would say something controversial or shocking, you know, with respect to Roman Reigns. Rollins said that he loves Roman Reigns, but he does not like Roman Reigns. The person he's become, he doesn't like the person he's become. The champion that he is, he doesn't like the champion that he is. He says he has no respect for that. He thinks he's been poisoned by his own ego. He's taken opportunities away from everybody else. And that's about as selfish as you can be. He says he wants to become world heavyweight champion so we can forget all about Roman Reigns. He said Raw could become the land of opportunity. He said he's going to be around. I guess that was the distinction he was making, is the fact that Roman Reigns is selfish, and he's selfish in part because effectively he's taken these championships hostage and he's rarely ever around. So Rollins was talking about the fact that I'm going to be around, except the last 2 weeks where he wasn't around because he was off filming a role in the next Captain America movie. He didn't mention that part. Then he talked about AJ Styles, who he wrestles this Saturday for the Big Gold Consolation Belt at Night of Champions. He put Styles over as one of the greatest in-ring performers of all time, but they've done this dance before. And they cut to footage of their match together on the independent scene. This would have had to have been their first match, I think. In April of 2006, that was the first time, I believe, these two stepped into the ring together. Rollins says that he's at the top of his game right now. Nobody can touch him. He's feeling pretty invincible. They told us that there would be more of this later on in the show. So they really oversold the Roman stuff last week. He didn't say anything shocking. And the irony of Seth Rollins here sitting here and complaining about part-timers when he has now missed two straight weeks of television heading into this pay-per-view for filming a movie. The irony of that is not lost on me. And yes, he'll be around a lot more than Roman Reigns is. It's not like Rollins is off filming movies every month, but still, the irony of that is not lost on me, that he would make a comment like that at a time when he has missed two straight weeks of television for filming a movie. I just thought that was funny. Now, I want to bring up AJ Styles here. This seems like an appropriate moment to bring this up because we are, of course, heading into the Night of Champions, and we are going to crown a new World Heavyweight Champion. And AJ Styles gave an interview to the New York Post, and he was asked about this new World Heavyweight Championship being viewed as a secondary title, which it is. You may say otherwise, but you would be wrong. It is a secondary title. Any top championship in this company that Roman Reigns is not currently holding is a secondary title. But they asked AJ Styles about that, and this is what AJ Styles, who is competing for the title this Saturday, this is what AJ Styles had to say. Is it a secondary title? Well, if the Raw Championship is held by Roman, the SmackDown Championship is held by Roman, then how can you argue that it's not? We had to make a new championship because Roman holds them all. What happens if he decides to wrestle for the World Heavyweight Championship? It is what it is, and we got what we got. He says, if we make the best of it, and if and when Roman does challenge for the title, we beat the brakes off him, whomever it may be, then we'll see what title is secondary. So this is AJ Styles, who is in the match on Saturday, competing to become the new World Heavyweight Champion, saying what I've been saying since this whole thing was announced. So I don't know why people still get so upset, and believe me, they do, when I call it a consolation belt. I call it that because that's exactly what it is. Now, I hope that they can make this title mean something. I really do. I hope that they make this championship, when it's defended on television, if it's defended on television, it's not like Roman's always defending his titles on TV. But if it is, they can really make it must-see television. And they can really make this thing something to want to tune into. And something that feels like it has real value and real merit, right? That's the onus that's on Triple H now. That's his job, is to book the World Heavyweight Championship and truly make it mean something. But so long as Roman Reigns is in the middle of this forever reign, this belt will always be little brother. You may think the belt looks better than the giant logo belts. It's got a lot of that big gold flair to it. And from what I understand, WWE, as far as the title lineage for this new championship, my understanding is that they are going to follow the title lineage of the big gold belt that Triple H first had in 2002. In case we all weren't confused enough about all this championship stuff and where the lineages are, that's my understanding, is that it's going to follow the lineage of the big gold belt that went from 2002 to 2013. But again, you no longer have to take my word for it when I call it a consolation belt or a secondary belt. All you got to do is listen to Uncle Alan, and he'll tell you the same thing. And if you don't like it, too fucking bad. So there was footage from last week's Raw Talk, where Damian Priest blamed Shinsuke Nakamura for costing him a shot at the World Heavyweight title. Nakamura asked if he was going to cry about it like he did when he lost to Bad Bunny. Damian Priest wanted to go beat him up. Finn Balor backed him off and said, we'll deal with Nakamura next week. So Byron Saxton tried to interview Finn Balor. Damian Priest got in his face because Balor was busy getting ready for a match. Balor backed him off again, and he told Byron Nakamura was pay for disrespecting the Judgment Day, and if Nakamura was lucky, Balor would leave a little bit left over for Damian Priest when the match was over. With Candice LeRae, one-on-one with Zoe Stark. Before the match, they aired a vignette with Zoe Stark in a gym. She was training and narrating the video as well, talking about what she's going to do on Raw. The time for heroes is over. The Zoe Stark era, she says, is about to begin. Again, I like the use of these videos to introduce us to a lot of these new faces that have come over as part of the draft. I think it's very effective. So Zoe was having her way with Candice when Nikki Cross ran out. And Nikki Cross ran down to ringside to basically cheerlead for Candice LeRae. Then when Candice finally gained the upper hand, Nikki decided this would be a fine time to go ahead and give her a big old bear hug. So Candice couldn't move, And that gave Zoe Stark an opportunity to barrel the both of them down. And then back in the ring, Zoe finished off Candice with her Z360 finish, which is a basically a belly-to-back GTS. And she pinned Candice LeRae. These two got a brutal lack of reaction from this crowd. They were in Hershey tonight. They were in Hershey, Pennsylvania. I heard from a couple of people who were in the crowd at Hershey tonight asking me, how are we sounding on TV? It's, you know, pretty energetic here. Didn't come across that way on TV. But they were in Hershey tonight, and even though Hershey was not all that loud for a lot of the segments on the show tonight, this one in particular stood out. Just a brutal lack of reaction. Now, for Zoe Stark, you can understand, because this was only her second match, I believe, on Monday Night Raw. She has only been on the main roster for about 2 weeks. So my hope is that people will pick up on how good she is over time, and they'll get more behind her. Again, this is the first video package that they have aired for Zoe Stark. Rome was not built in a day. Let's give that time. Let's see what happens. For Candice, though, I can't use that excuse, because Candice LeRae has been on the main roster now for months. Triple H put her on the main roster months ago. So what's the excuse? What's the excuse for the booking of Candice LeRae and the lack of reaction, not just this week, but most weeks, when she's on the ring, when she's in the ring, to Candice LeRae? You can't use that same excuse. It is deathly silent. If they start doing more group stuff with The Way, assuming that they are going to reunite The Way, which was a group, for those who don't know, in NXT. I know not everybody watches NXT. Maybe that'll help. Maybe if they start doing some entertaining segments and skits with The Way and Gargano and Candice and Dexter and Indy, maybe that will help over time get everybody over. But until that happens, Candice LeRae is going to continue to go out there. The Poison Pixie is going to go out there and get no reaction from the crowd. People are going to sit on their hands when she's in the ring, you know, wrestling whoever. It doesn't matter who she's in the ring with. It's alarming. It's alarming to see. So at this point in the show, I was just thinking of the words of the great philosopher, one Jonathan Moxley.
Oh my God, we're only an hour in. We have two more hours of this.
Indeed. Indeed. It was the start of the 9 o'clock hour. So into hour number two we went. Byron Saxton was in the gorilla position, and he was there to interview Mustafa Ali, who, as I mentioned before, is going to Night of Champions to challenge the Intercontinental Championship. He is going to Saudi Arabia to die at the hands of Gunther. And he was playing this interview straight, this no over the top, you gotta be positive, you know, that's his new gimmick now. He wasn't doing any of that. He was playing this totally straight. He said this is just way too real for him. This is something he's been dreaming about, he said, since he was a little kid. When suddenly Cowboy Brock blows past him as he's going to come through the curtain to come out, but he stops himself. Before he goes through the curtain, he stops himself, and he looks over at Ali, and he tells him, "Get a life, kid," and then he walks off. That's right, geek. Get a life. This is the man challenging for the Intercontinental Championship on Saturday. Brock Lesnar is telling him to get a life, making it very clear that this man is a geek. You know, Brock's comedic chops are underrated. He's actually very good at it. We don't get to see comedic Brock very often, because that's not the Brock Lesnar that sells. Brock Lesnar should be a killer. He should go out there to, you know, maim and murder people and be scary. So we don't get to see comedy Brock very often, but when we do, he's actually very good. I actually laughed out loud at that. So Brock walked down to the ring to address the crowd, and he asked the crowd, he goes, "So Hershey, what do you want to talk about?" Unfortunately, he said, Cody Rhodes will not be out here tonight. Said Cody will not be fighting Brock Lesnar at Night of Champions this Saturday either. But don't you worry, Brock Lesnar will not let you down. He's going to issue an open challenge, he says. For anybody and everybody in the back, all you got to do is step out here and step up to Brock Lesnar and you get me at Night of Champions. And so, of course, who walks out? Cody. Cody walks out. His left arm is in a sling. Adam Pearce has a gaggle of referees. They are trying to talk Cody out of making a very bad decision. But Cody climbs into the ring anyway. He pulls the wrap off his arm. He pulls the sling off his arm. Brock dropped his cowboy hat. And he locked Cody's bad arm in a Kimura lock. Takes him down to the Kimura. He's yelling at him, fight me, fight me. He sounds like Malachi Black. Aleister Black back in the day when he was sitting in the dressing room for how many months was he sitting in that room asking somebody to fight him? So Brock's yelling at him to fight me, fight me. And then he wrenches the arm and Corey Graves says that he may have just broken Cody's arm. There was a mild thank you, Brock chant when he did that. It wasn't terribly loud, but I heard it. So there you go. There's some more of that adversity for Cody to overcome now heading into his big battle with Brock Lesnar this weekend. Lesnar comes out of this looking like a killer. Cody now has to fight from underneath, but I see this more as a case of them giving him an out if and when he loses on Saturday, because he's going in there clearly not at 100%. They made it very clear his arm is probably broken. This is not a sprain. This is not something, you know, mild. A broken arm is not a mild injury. So they want you to know this man's arm is very likely broken going into this fight where anything goes on Saturday. So just him flying over to Saudi Arabia, just him showing up, right, shows the guts and the heart of Cody Rhodes. So you don't think any less of him if he loses the match. That seems to be what this is setting up. We had Alpha Academy with Maxxine Dupri in their corner taking on the Viking Raiders, who had Valhalla in theirs. Gable was isolated, which led to a brief We Want Otis chant. Gable eventually made the tag to Otis, and the people actually reacted. This is one of the few times on this show up until the main event that I could actually hear the crowd. I'm exaggerating a little bit, but again, this was not the most boisterous crowd tonight. So he body slammed Ivar. He splashed Eric in the corner. Otis looked to the crowd. Gable and Maxxine were both cheering him on and encouraging him to do the caterpillar, which I don't think Maxxine has done that before, but she seemed to be on board with it this time. Gable tagged himself in. He went for a suplex on Ivar. Eric, though, tagged in, and he blasted Gable right in the jaw with a knee strike. Ivar went to the ropes. Maxxine was outside the ring. She walked over to Valhalla and she was yelling at Valhalla. And then Sarah Logan began to scare her and she started chasing Maxxine away. Well, this was a bit of a distraction here for the Vikings. Gable was able to knock Ivar off the ropes. Then he rolled up Eric and he pinned him. So, holy shit, Chad Gable actually won a match here on Monday Night Raw. Good for him. I'm happy for him. And again, there were no signs of any sort of discord between Gable and Maxxine. Everybody seemed to be on the same page here. To the back, the show-long storyline continued as Byron Saxton parked himself outside of Cody Rhodes' dressing room. Adam Pearce entered the picture. He told Byron, not now, when Byron tried to get a word with him. He was, you know, on his way into Cody's locker room. So he goes into Cody's dressing room. He quickly got chased out. Cody is screaming. He goes, there's nothing to talk about. Get out of here. And Corey Graves on commentary said that he hoped Cody accepted medical help and added that this could be a career-threatening injury. Very melodramatic here. We have Finn Balor one-on-one with Shinsuke Nakamura. This was their first singles match since the Extreme Rules kickoff 4 years ago when Nakamura won his very first Intercontinental Championship, beating Balor. You want to see a great match between these two. I don't remember anything about that match in Extreme Rules, but you want to see a really good professional wrestling match between these two men. Really good 25-minute match. Go watch their NXT match, their NXT television match in 2016. I believe it was Balor's swan song. Might have been the final NXT match that Balor had on television from the first run that he had. I mean, he went back to NXT a couple of years later. But go watch that match, because I remember that being a very good match. This was not that. Damian Priest was ringside in Balor's corner. Balor went for the coup de grace. Nakamura avoided it, and he blasted Balor with a knee to the back of the neck. So we got a double down. Priest was tending to Finn Balor. Nakamura went after Priest. He clotheslined him over the barricade into the timekeeper's area. Balor, though, came up from behind, dropkicked Nakamura, and put him back in the ring, hit the coup de grace, and then scored the pin. So, not a bad match. Again, not their best. It was fine. It was fine for what it was. They aired footage of Liv Morgan suffering a shoulder injury, taking a kick from Dakota Kai 2 weeks ago on SmackDown. This is the same replay that we got on SmackDown this past Friday. The announce team was hyping up next week's Fatal 4-Way. It's going to be Raquel Rodriguez and a mystery partner, we were told. Ronda Rousey and Shayna Baszler. Bayley and Io Sky representing Damage Control. Or what's left of Damage Control. More on that in a second. And the team of Sonya Deville and Chelsea Green. That is a four-way next week for the vacant women's tag team title. So next Monday, we will crown brand new women's tag team champions. I'm sure you're all very excited. And I know you all cannot wait for that. Liv Morgan. Let's talk about Liv Morgan. Unfortunately, there's a lot of injury news. You know, we had Mercedes probably breaking her ankle at the New Japan show last night. We don't have an official diagnosis yet, but it looks pretty bad. She's going to be gone for a while. So we have that. I know one half of Aussie Open. I think Mark Davis is injured at the moment. Doesn't sound like he's going to be gone for too long. Maybe in the range of 6 weeks, but I know he and Kyle Fletcher, I think, have vacated both sets of tag team belts that they had in their possession. But then as far as WWE is concerned, in that match on SmackDown 2 weeks ago, Liv Morgan was not the only one to be injured. Now, Liv Morgan suffered what is believed to possibly be a torn rotator cuff. Although, again, nothing has been made official yet. It's some sort of shoulder injury that she may require surgery for. And that's the reason why they stripped them of the tag team titles, is because it's a serious enough injury. Liv Morgan is not going to be around for a while. In that same match, Dakota Kai, a few minutes later, and if you go back and watch the footage, it looked what happened here is that Dakota knew that Liv was hurt, which, again, begs the question why they didn't get her out of there right away. But it looked like she recognized that Liv was hurt. Maybe she didn't know to what extent. In trying to protect Liv Morgan, when Dakota came off the top rope with the Meteora that she was delivering, it was either a double stomp. She did it in such a way she landed awkwardly. Looked like she jammed her knee. Well, what she did was she tore her ACL. She didn't just jam her knee. She tore her ACL. That's the second torn ACL of Dakota Kai's career. When she tore her ACL a few years ago, I think it was 2019 in NXT. I don't know if it's the same leg. I don't know if it's the same knee. But this is not the first time she has torn her ACL. And again, it was just a freak thing, but in trying to protect Liv, she ended up getting hurt as well. Even worse. It sounds like even worse than Liv Morgan. Dakota Kai is scheduled to have surgery tomorrow. Torn ACL means we're not going to see her for a very long time. 6 months would be the earliest that we would see her, and let's say that's the most optimistic. Probably something closer to 9 to 12 months. So that's one-third of Damage Control gone at a time when they were clearly building to a Damage Control split. So I don't know what they're going to do now. Bayley and Io are in this Fatal 4-Way next week. I'm sure my guess is they're going to continue to further the split, and then maybe we'll get a program with Bayley and Io But Dakota is going to be out of the picture for a while, as will Liv. So that match claimed a lot of casualties on SmackDown a few weeks ago. Ronda and Shayna are going to win the tag team titles. Ronda Rousey and Shayna Baszler are going to be your new women's tag team champions, which is too bad because they really should merge both sets of women's tag team belts and just keep them on Alba Fire and Isla Dawn, who are the current NXT women's tag team champions. But they're not going to do that. And I have no interest in seeing those two, who just debuted on Friday, sacrificed to Ronda Rousey. I don't want to see that. So keep them apart. And if that means we have to crown new women's tag team champions instead of getting rid of them, for the time being, fine. So be it. Put them on Ronda, put them on Shayna, let them have them. But keep Alba and Isla far away, because I don't see how that's going to end well for them if they end up in the ring with Ronda Rousey. So the whole, I don't know what Triple H is doing. I really don't. I don't know what Triple H is doing. I know that they have been ravaged by some injuries that they were not expecting. And that's always going to be the case. There's always going to be unfortunate injuries that happen. And you gotta book around it. You know, you have to go to plan B or plan C or call an audible, right? Shit happens. But we have two sets of women's tag team belts on the main roster, including the NXT women's tag team titles, are now on SmackDown. We have the SmackDown Women's Championship on Raw. We have the Raw Women's Championship on SmackDown. And there's been no mention of how this is going to be addressed. The draft at this point now was, what, 2 or 3 weeks ago? And there's been no mention about how any of this is going to be addressed. It's just fucking stupid, is what it is. It is fucking dumb. I don't know what they're doing. And then we got Raquel Rodriguez, one-on-one with Sonya Deville. Sonya hit a flying knee strike for a two count. Raquel eventually came back, hit her twisting senton, hit the Tejana bomb, and picked up the win. So the heels were attacking that being Sonya and Chelsea. They were attacking Raquel when the match was over. Until Shotzi made the save. She sprinted down to the ring. She ended up wiping out both of the heels with a very Darby Allin-esque suicide dive. And that was the end of the segment. From there, we got a Matt Riddle video package, which was kind of random. Matt Riddle is not exactly somebody new to the main roster, but we got a Matt Riddle video package where he talked about people doubting him and how that's a mistake that you can't afford to make. I'm all for personality profiles and pieces like this. They have videos like this on Peacock. If you ever watch any of the pay-per-views, if you are on the higher tier of Peacock, so you don't have commercials, what they do is they air these long, I mean, they're long. They're like 2, 3, 4 minutes long. Video packages, basically, video profiles on various talents. It could be main event talent. Usually it's main event talent. So you might get a video on Seth Rollins. You might get a video on Becky Lynch, Charlotte Flair. That's what we see. Everybody else, you got to watch commercials. So they already do stuff like that, but I think it's a positive thing. You know, it's a positive thing to just show these individuals outside the ring, whether they're training, whether they're at home, and just tell us something about them. Let us see them outside the ring, outside their natural habitat. You know, let's find out something new about them, maybe that we didn't know. You know, what's their mission statement? What makes them tick? What are they here? What are they here for? What are they after? So, I think it's something we need to see more of. At this point, it was about 10 p.m. I could not believe, I said this on Twitter, I said, I cannot believe that there is an hour left in this show. This is unbearable. When we have a week like this, where I just thought the show was largely a fucking bore, it is unbearable. It is unbearable to sit through some of these shows. They're unbearably long. This was one of those nights. We had a contract signing with Becky Lynch and Trish Stratus to make it official, their match coming up this Saturday in Night of Champions. They piped in boos for Trish as she walked down to the ring. It was funny, too, because you hear the boo, all of a sudden the boos, right? And then they cut to a crowd shot. It's like nobody's moving. Nobody's cheering, or they're just standing there. But all of a sudden, like, where'd all these loud boos come from? So she walks down to the ring. Becky Lynch is out there, and these are the glasses that Becky Lynch was wearing. I kind of wish that I had a pair of glasses like that myself while I was watching this show tonight. For those who did not see the show and cannot see the image, it is a custom-made pair of gold glasses in the shape of two hands, covering her eyes except for the slit in the middle so she could actually see out of them. It is, this looks like something, you remember the scene from the movie Beetlejuice, the dinner scene, when the claw comes up from their dinner bowls and kind of grabs their face? That's kind of what that reminds me of, if you've ever seen Beetlejuice. She looks ridiculous. What can I say? But Trish says that it's a big deal because this was her first contract signing. In all her years in WWE, this is Trish Stratus' very first contract signing. She took credit for Becky having so many big moments because she did all the work that made it possible for Becky to have those big moments. And the crowd started giving Trish the dreaded what treatment. Becky had her feet up. This whole time, Becky just kind of popped her feet up on the desk and just had this completely disinterested look on her face. Trish was boasting that she was number one in WWE, and it did not take a broken nose for me to get there. Trish said that Becky thinks that she's it, and questioned what will happen once she beats Becky at Night of Champions. Trish assumed that that would make her it. She questioned whether Becky would go back into a dark place and have to, quote, go through stuff again. She stated again that it was her first contract signing, and she said that it would be Becky's last. So then Becky removed her weird glasses and smirked, and she said that the fans remember Trish as being better than she is. I remember Trish being a better heel than she is right now. I'll admit that. Where's that Trish Stratus? Because so far, this ain't it. This ain't working. Becky said that it's all about Trish wanting her flowers. She thanked Stratus and said that she was thanking her for being everything she hopes she never becomes. Becky said that she can look at herself in the mirror even though she's not as perfect as Stratus thinks she is. She said Trish has done things that would give her nightmares. If you think barking like a dog is embarrassing, just wait until I whip your ass at Night of Champions. Welcome to the big time, bitch. Woof, woof. And Trish then tipped over the contract signing table, left the ring, and Becky sat there smiling. All I can say after watching this is good luck trying to stretch this all the way out to SummerSlam, if that's the plan. And I don't know if it is or not. But that was the original story going around, is that this was going to be a SummerSlam match. Well, obviously, we're getting this match in Night of Champions, but I can't imagine this is going to be a one and done, right? There's got to be at least one more match coming up after this. Whether it's Money in the Bank or SummerSlam, that we don't know. Good luck stretching this all the way out to SummerSlam. I don't know how they're going to do it. I'm hoping the match on Saturday is good. I think the match on Saturday has the potential to be very good. But as far as this feud and these television segments here, holy shit. I don't know what the deal is with Trish, because it just seems so forced now. And she used to be a very good heel. She went heel in the mid-2000s, and I remember that being a pretty good run for her. And I understand that was many years ago. But I don't know, just the promos have been rough. And the crowd here didn't really react much. I mean, Becky had a couple of good lines. You know, I like the callback to the bark like a dog stuff. Throwing that back in Trish's face. So Becky got off a couple of good lines on her, but this just isn't clicking for me. But again, I hope the match is better than these promo segments have been. This has just been painful television. And again, the same formulaic contract signing stuff that you would come to expect from pretty much every contract signing segment, whether it's the men or the women. Not much to this. So Adam Pearce was on the phone backstage with someone and informed them that Cody Rhodes' arm was likely broken, but he's not listening. He won't listen to reason. Cody will not listen to anyone. So whoever was on the phone seemed to be giving Pearce some sort of direction or instructions. We would find out who that is later on in the show. Byron Saxton interviewed Shotzi and Raquel in the back. Shotzi said that Byron had no idea how much respect she had for Raquel. She would always have her back. And Raquel said, well, I guess I found my tag team partner for next week. You and I are going to go to Raw, and we're going to become the new women's tag team champions. And Shotzi was all pumped up and so happy. We had Apollo Crews against Dom Dom, Dominic Mysterio. Ripley was out there in Dom's corner. She got up in Apollo's face outside. Crews went around Ripley to go after Dom, but then Dom pulled him in, and face first he went into the ring steps. Ripley then ran Crews into the ring post, as the referee was distracted in the ring by Dominic and did not see it. Apollo slid back into the ring to beat the count right at 9.5. But then Dominic went halfway across the ring with a giant frog splash. I don't mean giant the way that Montez Ford gets height on his. But he covered a pretty good distance. And he gave Apollo a frog splash to the back, rolled him over, and pinned him. If only Dominic's heat could translate from his promos to his matches. It's just not the same level of heat. Like, the bell rings, and it's just... And maybe it depends on who the opponent is, right? When he was in the ring with Ray, for example, right, that was a hot match and a hot program. But it doesn't always translate to Dominic's matches. That's the only thing. So we got an AJ Styles video package, which included photos of his time in TNA and New Japan. We even got a mention of a Tokyo Dome. I wonder what that could be. So that was a nice video package there, highlighting the other half of the World Heavyweight Championship match on Saturday. And then it was back to Seth Rollins, his sit-down with Corey Graves for one last segment. And Rollins said that it is time for a change. Since he was 11 years old, this is the only thing he's ever dreamed of. He said he's going all in on this World Heavyweight Championship. He wants to create something legendary that will live forever. He's the change that we have been waiting for. Not much of a change when you've been on television for 11 years, but he's calling himself the change. So I thought they did a good job of building Rollins up throughout the show as somebody that the fans can rally around as the savior of Monday Night Raw, which really has been without a champion now. You know, it has been without a champion for close to a year. Roman's made a few appearances, but actually, you know, we're in May now. The titles were unified in April, so it's been a year. It's been over a year. So they tried to portray him, or he tried to portray himself as, you know, the change maker who's going to restore, I guess, some sort of value back to the Monday Night Raw brand. And that, look, if they go at Rollins, and Rollins has got to be the favorite. I picked AJ in my predictions. You want to know my Night of Champions predictions? I spell it all out. You can find the clip right here on the YouTube channel, and it's on episode 809 from this Sunday. Rollins has got to be the favorite, though, going into Saturday. And if Seth Rollins wins the World Heavyweight Championship, one thing that you can count on is the fact that whoever they put him in the ring with, you're going to get some bangers, right? You're going to get some damn good fucking wrestling matches with Seth Rollins in there defending the World Heavyweight Championship. So that's one of the positives about putting the belt on Rollins is you know what you're going to get. You're going to get quality matches inside the ring. And I thought they did a good job, you know, with the video, with the dueling videos for both guys. Rollins and AJ, how could they have anything but a very good match on Saturday? Today's episode is sponsored by BetterHelp. You know, I get questions from time to time about my work week. What does it look like? I spend a lot of time working on this show, whether it's prep for Sunday or the weekly live streams, bonus content, editing, You know, it's a lot. But I love it. The problem sometimes is that I put too much into it at the expense of what I need for myself. Like free time and sleep. That can have me feeling like I'm burning the candle at both ends. You may feel that way too if you're giving a lot of yourself to others and not enough to yourself. Therapy can give you the tools to find more balance in your life. It can help you learn important coping skills and how to set boundaries. It's not just for people who have suffered some sort of trauma in their lives. It has benefits for everyone. And that's why you should give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online. It's designed to fit into your schedule, no matter how busy you may be. All you do is fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist, and you can switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find more balance with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/Solomonster today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/Solomonster. Kevin Owens, Sami Zayn, and Matt Riddle. They teamed up in the main event tonight. Take on all three members of Imperium. Corey Graves played up the idea on commentary that taking this match here days before the Saudi show was questionable for Owens and Zayn heading into their match with Roman and Solo. So Imperium worked over Matt Riddle. Really, it was Gunther who worked over Matt Riddle for a while. That went through a commercial break. And they were able to neutralize Owens and Zayn so that Riddle could not make the tag. Riddle finally gave Gunther a German suplex and tagged in KO, who stomped Vinci, hit a senton, German suplex, cannonball for two. Ludwig Kaiser and Vinci, they double-teamed Owens, which led to a second commercial break. The commercials really did a number on this match. So Owens gave Vinci a frog splash. He made the tag to Sammy, who hit Kaiser with a Michinoku driver for two. Zayn gave Gunther a blue thunder bomb, but Vinci broke up the pin. Owens gave Vinci a stunner. Gunther put Zayn in a sleeper hold, but it was Matt Riddle who broke that up. Now, Gunther had Sammy's back. They were basically laying on the mat, and Gunther's got him locked in this sleeper. Here comes Riddle off the top with the floating bro, and that breaks up the sleeper. Vinci tagged in. Zayn, though, gave him an exploder into the turnbuckles. Gunther held Zayn by the leg as he set up for a haluva kick, so Owens super kicked Gunther, and Riddle sent the champion flying. He sent Gunther flying over the announce desk. Zayn then caught Vinci with the haluva kick, and Owens tagged in, hit a senton bomb for the win. So good action here in the main event. It was nice to see Imperium get their first Raw main event. They just got drafted over to the brand new show, and so they got their first main event tonight here, and it was not their night. Because Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn are the tag team champions. They're the ones wrestling Roman Reigns and Solo Sikoa on Saturday, so they had to win. They had to go over here. But then it was to the back. We weren't done yet. Went to the back to Cody Rhodes' dressing room, where he was joined by Triple H for a fireside chat. He told Cody he needs to get medical attention. Felt like I needed medical attention when the show was over. I was nearly comatose. Cody said he doesn't need medical attention, which is usually what somebody who actually needs medical attention would say, right? I don't need medical attention. I'm fine. Triple H said that he could tell just by looking at his arm that it's broken. So he's a doctor now, too. He says he knows Cody knows that it's broken. You can tell. You know it, too. So he said he knows Cody is afraid. Cody took exception to that. I'm not afraid of anything. Triple H said he's afraid that if the doctor comes in here and diagnoses a broken arm, that he is not going to let him go to Night of Champions. Triple H told him, look, I'm not questioning your toughness. He saw Cody wrestle with a torn pec against Seth Rollins inside Hell in a Cell, but this was different. He said he wanted Rhodes to remember the year of his career that he lost. He wanted him to remember that year that he was on the shelf. Cody said that it would be worse if he came back from that as a coward. He had to go to Night of Champions and fight. He said Triple H, of all people, should know that. Cody looked at Triple H and he said, I'm going to Night of Champions and I am going to fight Brock Lesnar. Cody sat down. Triple H smirked, patted him on the leg, may have patted him on the back too, and he walked off. I think part of the idea here is to remind people, as they did, that Cody wrestled Seth Rollins with a torn pec. His pec was completely torn off the bone. And that's how he wrestled Seth Rollins, and he won. He beat Seth Rollins with a torn pec. And so, therefore, if he goes into Night of Champions, broken arm, no broken arm, hey, he won with a torn pec, right? He can go in there and beat Brock, but he won't. It's an out for Cody to go in there and fight and scratch and claw and ultimately lose. And nobody will think any less of him for losing because they know he went in there far less than 100%. But what it allows them to do then is get a third and decisive match out of it, hopefully a Money in the Bank and not SummerSlam. And then Cody can win that match and close out the program 2-1 over Brock. Now, if Cody goes in there on Saturday and beats Brock a second time, that's great. Right? That's great. Keep Cody strong so he can go on to eventually finish his story. But I see a Brock Lesnar win here. And that's why I think they did things the way that they did. For Owens and Zayn, their loss to the Judgment Day last week, to me, telegraphed the fact that they're going over on Saturday, because why else would they do that? Why else would they set up Balor and Priest as heel challengers to the tag team titles if they were not going to get a shot at the babyface champions? I think that's going to be their first program for the titles coming out of this pay-per-view this weekend. So that to me was a bit telegraphed. I guess we'll find out if Roman Reigns and Solo Sikoa end up winning, but that's how it looks to me. And Owens and Zayn have a whole bunch of different challengers now coming out of this show on Saturday. So under no circumstances do I think they should be dropping those titles. Of course, this is WWE. It's the Roman Reigns show. And I think if they had the ability to give him every belt, that's exactly what they would do. They would give him the SmackDown Women's belt as well and the Raw Women's belt. If they still had their Cruiserweight Championship, they would give that to him too. They would give him the 24/7 title. Hardcore title. European title. Just give him everything. Just give him everything. This show was a bore. This show was a bore. It was not all bad. I talked about some segments that I liked and that I thought was good, but for a 3-hour show to sit here and hold my attention, and when it was over, I looked at the show and I said, what the fuck was this? This was the go-home show to this event coming up on Saturday. No effort. It felt like it was just very paint-by-numbers. No real effort put into it. You know, they have their top stories. The Cody thing was the main story of the show. But just a boring show when it was over. These are the types of Raws that I hate. When I sit here and I can't even tell you, like, it was so bad it's good. No, I mean, there was some good wrestling, there were some good angles, but it was just way too long. They did not have enough material there to sustain interest in this show. These are the Raws that are the hardest to sit through. Nothing worse than a boring Raw. I can almost tolerate a bad Raw, because you know it's going to make for a great review. It's the boring Raws that are tough to sit through. See if you guys concur. Take a look at the Twitter poll. 34% thumbs up for tonight's show. 65% thumbs down. As I said, this was not a good Monday Night Raw. At Solomonster is the place to vote on Twitter. Please go ahead and do so. You should be following me on there anyway. We're going to be tweeting a lot this weekend, probably, because we have Night of Champions on Saturday at 1 o'clock Eastern. And then we have AEW Double or Nothing coming up on Sunday night from Las Vegas. Last time I checked, the tickets were still not looking great for that show. There's really no positive way to spin that. Tickets have not been selling well for Double or Nothing. And apparently tickets for SummerSlam, I think they already had between 30 and 40,000 tickets out. But apparently tickets have just totally stalled for SummerSlam as well. So SummerSlam, All In. You know, they're going to have to start announcing some matches soon enough. And then we'll see how quickly the tickets move. Let's start here with Jackie Fowler, who dropped the first Super Chat of the night. Do you think John Cena's WrestleMania 39 opponent should have been LA Knight instead of Austin Theory? Because I think it was a mistake going with Theory instead of Knight. Could have been a better program. It would have been better promos. Absolutely. Do I think it would have been a better program? Beyond a shadow of a doubt. LA Knight deserved to have a singles match on that show. Whether it was against John Cena or somebody else, irrelevant to me. And he was not even on the show. You watched SmackDown that Friday when they did the Andre Battle Royal. Go listen to that crowd in Los Angeles and the reaction that he got. And for him and Bobby Lashley to miss the show when you have two nights of WrestleMania is inexcusable. Inexcusable. So yes, absolutely. John Cena and LA Knight would have been a lot of fun to see. Slim Yoshi skipped Raw tonight due to being exhausted by work. Did I miss anything? Also, sending my thoughts to Dakota Kai. You missed nothing. Roscoe P. Coltrane with the $2 Super Chat. Hey, Roscoe, thank you very much. Richie, what if Paul Heyman is behind Brock's attack on Cody? He's not. Paul Carpenter with the $5 Super Chat. Obvious that Seth Rollins is going to win. One interview with AJ. Well, AJ is the SmackDown star, so they weren't going to feature him as much as they were going to feature Seth Rollins. But yes, it was very clear that the machine was in hyperdrive tonight, trying to get over Seth Rollins as the change maker of Monday Night Raw, the man who is going to carry Monday Night Raw on his shoulders. Dennis Diaz, Sound of Gamer content for AEW Fight Forever. As soon as the game drops, the game is on Steam, I'll be buying a copy. I don't know what the PC port of that game is going to look like. Hopefully it's not too buggy, but yes, I do plan on doing, you know, some sound, I don't know how many, but some Sound of Gamer content with Fight Forever. Obviously, we're still doing content with 2K23. We are still in my rise mode. Lovelock. So WWE can give Backlash two main events and Night of Champions three main events, but could not do anything for Rhea and Charlotte at WrestleMania. How are the women equal again? I'm not sure what you're getting at. I mean, they could call anything a main event. This whole idea of a triple main event is just goofy. There's one main event. Everybody knows that there's one main event. They could say we have two main events, three main events. Yeah, the main event is the biggest possible match that you could be doing on that show. Typically the match that closes the show. That is the main event. So the fact that Rhea and Charlotte did not close out the show, they didn't get that main event status because there was a match that was better suited for the main event spot. It had the better story. Rhea and Charlotte ended up having an excellent match. It was one of the best matches of WrestleMania weekend. But it still, even in hindsight, should not have been the main event. WWE made the correct choice. I'm not sure, what would your solution be? You want to add a third night of WrestleMania? Should we do that just so that the women can have the main event spot on the third night? If I'm the promoter, I am going with the match or the matches that make the most sense. If that involves the women, great. I'll put the women on then the main event every year. If it's the men, then the men go on. If you have an attraction like Stone Cold Steve Austin on the show, I'm probably going to be putting Stone Cold in the main event. Hey, Max just became a subscriber. Welcome, Max. So, again, I'm not sure what your solution to this problem this year would have been. There's only two nights of WrestleMania. The correct matches headline those shows. Data and Boys podcast with a $4.99. My formula for watching Raw is to start watching 2 hours after it starts, and fast forward 90% of it. So by the time I'm live, it's the final segment. See, that's actually very smart. I like to tweet in real time, though, sometimes about what's going on the show. So I don't necessarily have that luxury, but that's probably something I should look into doing, in all honesty. Maybe not 2 hours. Maybe I'll let like the first 90 minutes go. But, you know, I have to take notes. It's tough for me. Like, if you're just a normal viewer, I think that's a great strategy. I think that's a great... Here's an even better strategy. Don't watch the show. Just watch mine. I'll bring you up to speed on everything. There you go. Just don't watch. Down bad. Assuming Cody will be busy with Brock again and Money in the Bank, they have no reason not to give the briefcase to LA Knight. LA Knight was my early pick a few months ago for Money in the Bank. I only floated the Cody idea with the idea that, you know, they are going to do Cody and Roman at SummerSlam, and they may not. Money in the Bank would be the way to get him. But LA Knight with the briefcase makes all the sense in the world to me. And now they have him doing tag team stuff. We're going to find out because they're starting Money in the Bank qualifiers next week. They're starting them on Raw. I assume they'll be on SmackDown as well. He better be in one of those Money in the Bank qualifiers. They better not just have him in tag team hell and not give him a chance to at least get into the Money in the Bank. That would be ridiculous. So, yes, LA Knight would be my pick to win Money in the Bank. I agree. We got Jalen LeGrant. They're going to have Roman win the tag team titles and then give it up to Solo and a new member of the Bloodline, or have him dump the belt the next night to unify. Roman should not be winning the title at all. And Solo, by the way, should be the one to take the losing fall. I don't want to see Roman Reigns eat the pin in this match either. Because you're going to waste Roman's first pinfall loss since 2019 in a tag team title match? Even if it's a tag team match, so what? The man hasn't been pinned since December of 2019. You're going to pin him on Saturday in a tag team match? Love Lie. Why would WWE have the lineage of Little Gold follow that of Big Gold when Big Gold was merged into the WWE title, which Roman is holding right now? You know, Love Lie, you're making a grave mistake here because you are making far too much sense. Can't do that with WWE. Believe me, I've learned over the years. When you make too much sense, you'll just drive yourself crazy. Again, I don't know if that's something WWE has specifically mentioned. I did read that earlier today about the title lineage. Once the new champion is crowned, I think WWE has a title history section on their website. We'll see. We'll see how they're going to decide on what lineage to go with, but my impression is that they're going to continue and pick up with the Big Gold title lineage. It's all very confusing. Naughty Delicious Chicken with Flavor. I have to ask this question. Why didn't Cody Rhodes bring out a taser or a stun gun against Brock? Well, because that would not be a very babyface thing for him to do. Come out using... Now, considering the fact that they're in a fight on Saturday, he can use a taser on Saturday. That's what I would do. I would grab a taser. I would tase that guy's fucking balls. Believe me, he'd hit the ground in 2 seconds. That's what I would do. But that's not a very heroic babyface action. Cody Rhodes comes out with a stun gun. He's going to come out. He's going to fight Brock with his bare hands. So that's the babyface thing to do. Come on. That's wrestling 101. He also says, congrats to Willow Nightingale for winning the New Japan Strong Women's Championship. She deserves it. No words for Tony Khan. He has enough on his plate. And he also says, the McMahon family way of booking WWE is strange. You could just say the McMahon family is strange. Take out the booking part. Naughty says, I acknowledge Trish Stratus. We all do. And Arizona Rich, $5 super chat. I think Rollins only loses the title match due to interference. Maybe Logan Paul. Oh, come on. Logan Paul. Anyway, thank you for your show, Solid Monster. You are the best. Yeah, let's not wish that. The Logan Paul thing, they had a great match at WrestleMania. It's over and done with. There's been no interaction at all between them since then. I don't see the need to extend that program anymore. They already had a WrestleMania match, right? Where do you go from there? So, no, I don't see Logan Paul getting... I mean, could there be interference? It's possible. If AJ were to go heel, then maybe the OC would get involved, right? And I'm not saying that's going to happen, but AJ is part of a faction. So if they're flying over there with him, perhaps they would get involved. Logan Paul, though, I don't see the need for that. And Jared Jackson, just in hot with a $5 super chat, says, the current WWE title literally says World Heavyweight Champion. Well, to be fair, most world championships say World Heavyweight title on them, so I don't see why the WWE title would be any different. But Jared, thank you, brother. I appreciate that. Slow night on the Super Chats, but I hope I answered most of your questions. I can't say that I blame people. Like I said, this is a boring fucking show. So you're not going to have a lot of people who are overly inspired to want to talk about the show or listen about what happened on this show. I don't know. It's weird with WWE. You know, they'll have an episode of SmackDown or something that's, you know, really good, and then they'll just sort of revert back to the same old, same old. Ever since WrestleMania, it's like it's just gone totally downhill. Backlash was fantastic, but the week-to-week television has been largely awful since WrestleMania. Not interesting at all. Not inspiring at all. It's just, it feels like filler every week. I don't know. I don't know what's happened. There was a lot of excitement going into WrestleMania. It came and went, and we had that fun show in Puerto Rico. But outside of that, I mean, point me in the direction of something that's been fantastic. You know, week to week on WWE television. Even the Bloodline story. You know, the Bloodline story is still going. I'm not as into it as I was before WrestleMania. It's lost some steam. So I don't know. I don't know what's going on. Love Lie. Hey, look, it's the Quad Squad. There they are. You get a better view of them here. Ah, it disappeared. Love Lie with the $4.99. Sorry, to clarify what I said earlier, I just meant it's the principle. The WWE did not try to promote the women's match as a double main event. Well, that makes more sense. The way I read it at first, it was almost like they should have done something to accommodate Charlotte and Rhea. You know, look, sometimes that's just the way it goes. And you have a match that has so much momentum or such a big story behind it. Charlotte and Ronda the year before. Who would have predicted that after 19 years, Stone Cold Steve Austin would come out of retirement? How are you not going to end WrestleMania in Texas with Steve Austin and consider putting Charlotte Flair in the main event after Steve Austin's match in Texas in Dallas? I mean, that would have been crazy. So, Sucks to be her, because that's 2 years in a row where she probably feels like she got screwed out of a WrestleMania main event, but shit happens. Lovely says, I agree that multiple main events is weird, but it would have softened the blow. I don't care about that. It might have softened the blow for her. I don't give a shit. I don't care. It doesn't bother me. I mean, you want to make her feel good. Like, I don't care. There's a main event on night one, and there's a main event on night two. You know, I'm not trying to shield people's feelings here. You're either in the main event or you're not. Very simple. Naughty Delicious says, did you see the new Mortal Kombat trailer? I did not. I keep hearing about it, but I have not seen the new Mortal Kombat trailer. Is it any good? I saw the Street Fighter 6 trailer, I think about a month ago. And I believe, is that coming out next month? I think it might be. That looked good. I might consider that for a Sound Off Gamer. The Rock versus Sting with the $9.99. Happy Monday. What's so happy about it? That was awesome. You got to be at the Nightmare Factory. Glad you got to experience it and meet Cody in person. Sorry that Raw tonight was really subpar. Well, Cody got to meet Orange Cassidy on the Jericho Cruise a few years ago. So our paths have crossed at least that one time before. This was not the first time. Only this time I was not in my jean shirt, my shades. We put those away. Mortal Kombat 1 looks dope. Yeah, I will. When we're done here, I'll check out the trailer. I just have not seen it. I have not seen the Mortal Kombat RoboCop. Did somebody say RoboCop? There's a RoboCop game coming out. So see, I hear about this stuff, man. I'm plugged into the gaming scene. I gotta get plugged into the gaming scene again. I used to have a subscription to GamePro magazine and all that. Is GamePro even a thing anymore? Probably not, right? All the magazines are pretty much gone. Anyway, thank you guys for the super chats. Like I said, a slow night. I'm not surprised. I can't say that I blame people for it. But God, I mean, just fuck. I don't know what else to say about this show. We did hit the goal for Be the Booker. Despite this being a slow night, we did hit the goal. So thank you for the 450 likes. That makes my Monday happy, even though it's Tuesday now. But let's go ahead and Be the Booker.
Ladies and gentlemen, it is now time to Be the Booker.
Hey, if nothing else, even when you have a boring Raw, at least we can hit Be the Booker and book some matches. All right, that's always fun. I enjoy this. Try to take this for a spin and see what the magic wheel will land on. It lands on Johnny Gargano. Johnny Wrestling, who was not on the show tonight. His wife was. Johnny Wrestling was not on the show tonight. It will be Johnny Gargano going one-on-one with the American Badass Undertaker. You know, Undertaker tended to work very well with the smaller opponents. Of course, all of his matches with Shawn Michaels. So I think Undertaker and Johnny Gargano would actually be a very good match. I think Johnny Gargano was one of those guys who would bring the best out of The Undertaker. It's only too bad that there are some people who didn't see any of Gargano's work from NXT. They just know of him from his main roster run so far. His main roster run so far has been fucking terrible. I hope in time people will be able to see why Johnny Gargano was so well regarded in NXT. We begin here on the women's side with Mercedes Martinez. Mercedes Martinez one-on-one with Jordynne Grace. Pretty good match. Pretty good match. Maybe we can go 3 for 3 tonight. Kick things off here with the Fabulous Freebirds. They There's Terry Bam Bam Gordy, Michael P.S. Hayes. Freebirds were tag team wrestling there back in the 80s. Freebirds going to take on Men on a Mission. Oh, we were so close. We were so close. We had it. I could taste it. I could smell it. I could feel it. We almost went 3 for 3. And we had Oscar, Moe, and Mabel fuck it all up. Oh, well. Oh, well. What can you do? It's the random nature of being the booker. Freebirds and Men on a Mission, maybe like a dance-off. We could have Oscar doing the Men on a Mission WrestleMania rap at the same time that Michael Hayes is singing and dancing to Bad Street USA. So maybe we turn it into a dance-off. It makes me a hater. I'm a hater for giving them the buzzer. Well, then I guess I'm a hater. You should see the comments I got. There was a editorial piece on comicbook.com earlier today. It might have been Connor Casey. I'm not sure. Who basically said that now, we're not that far removed from WrestleMania, but, you know, we're was it 6 weeks? Probably 6 or 7 weeks since WrestleMania now. That the decision for Cody Rhodes to lose at WrestleMania has aged poorly. And all I did was I quote tweeted the article because I thought it was an interesting piece. And I said that the decision aged poorly the minute the referee counted 3 in that match. That's all I said. You should see the fucking poison and cancer that ended up on my timeline today from people who have serious mental health issues. Very serious mental health issues. Mental health defects, perhaps. I don't know. I mean, there were some people who just disagreed, but then there were people, like the comments that they made, or you see Roman in the avatar, and I mean, that right away is a dead giveaway. Where you see the name, you know, at Roman Soldier, you know, 09874924, that kind of stuff. Probably have posters of Roman Reigns all over their walls. Probably have posters of Roman Reigns on the ceiling as well, so when they lay in bed at night, they can pleasure themselves as they look up at their tribal chief. Very scary. Some of the I did not expect that tweet to generate that much discussion and debate among people. But I also feel like it's just people who don't like hearing the truth. It just bothers them. It just bothers them. It bothers them that I was right. I was right about that. I'm right about the CM Punk stuff. You need to start listening to me more often. That's the moral of the story. Anyway, I'm going to be back with you on Wednesday. We're going to be talking AEW Dynamite. We got a launch date, June 29th. AEW Fight Forever is coming up. Finally, we have a release date. But Dynamite this Wednesday is the final episode before Double or Nothing on Sunday. So we'll talk about that, and then SmackDown on Friday is the go-home show to Night of Champions, which was already taped. So I stayed away from the spoilers, because why not? We'll talk about SmackDown on Friday night. I feel like this is going to be a dead week. I don't know. It's a bad feeling I have about this week. I feel like it's going to be a dead week. But anyway, it's always nice to hang out with you guys. And Naughty Delicious says, Undertaker against Johnny Gargano, loser has to pay for Solo Monster's bar tab. I'm going to be racking up quite a bar tab after this show tonight. I can promise you that. And, Maze the Great. I want to mention that. Maze the Great says, that shout out cost me $100. Yeah, Maze got a, to my surprise, I guess he was at a Comic-Con or something. And he got a video shout-out, which you saw at the beginning of the stream tonight, from the one and only Sergeant Slaughter, WWE Hall of Famer Sergeant Slaughter. And apparently it set him back a C-note. So, Maze, I didn't realize, and I kind of wish he didn't do that, but I do appreciate that very much. If I would have known that, I would have talked you out of it, but it was very cool. to get that shout out, and I thank him for that. That was very generous of you. All right, yes, Dennis and everybody else, thank you very much. I'm going to see you guys on Wednesday night. Until then, be well, stay safe. Thank you for hanging out with me here on an otherwise boring Monday night. It's never boring here with you guys. And we'll do it all over again on Wednesday. So until then, take care, guys.